continuing to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul says this, has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good. Isn't that something? Sin in us produces death, and it has an appearance of good. Oh, this is crazy. So that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Then he said this in verse 14. Watch this now. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Okay, now look over at somebody and say, you're not that good. See, some of us think we're good. Wait a minute, let me read that again. He said, I'm carnal, sold under sin. Then he said this, for what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will do, that I do not practice. For what I hate, that I do. Can anybody say amen to that? Have you ever done something you hate doing? Okay, some of you are like, no, not me. Watch. If then I do what I would not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, nothing good dwells. So you ain't all that good. I didn't say it, the Bible said it. All right, right? Okay, for to me, or for the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. This is crazy. Have you ever looked in the mirror and go, I'm not doing that again? And then like, that was Tuesday. And then Wednesday afternoon, you're like, I'm back, and I ain't doing that again. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. Say that with me. Warring against the law of my mind. Say it again. Warring against the law of my mind. This is an important aspect of this teaching. You've got to get this one phrase in your mind. Say it one more time. Warring against the law of my mind. So there's something that wars against us in our minds. Paul brought this forth, and he said this in the continuation of verse 23, bringing me into captivity of the law of sin which is in my members. Then he said this, oh wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Do me a favor, Matt. Do you have that roller coaster clip? Don't put the sound on it. Just let the people see it. This kind of illustrates what it's like for most Christians. You go to church or you read your Bible, and you anticipate that you're going higher and higher in God. You're feeling good about yourself. But all of a sudden, something happens. You get to the top of that experience. It's like, oh, boom. And then all of a sudden, you say, no, I need to recover. I need to go back. I need to start praying again. I got to get back to church. And you're up at top again. And then all of a sudden, oh, back down again. And you live this roller coaster Christianity that doesn't ever seem to stop. Before I go any further, I want you to know that God is not going to abandon you even if you're in the low point. It's a great opportunity to get back to the high point. I don't know about you, but I've come from retreats, camp meetings, special conferences, and seminars. I come back out of there feeling like I am like a spiritual giant. I walk in the house, I'm rebuking flies, I'm calling out storms. I'm like, fly, die in Jesus' name. I don't even need raid. I don't need a fly swatter. Ha, yata, ba, 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 da. And flies like, you ever feel that way, man? You feel like, I'm a spiritual giant. And like 3 days later, sometime 3 minutes later, you're not that big. We have these highs in God. We have these lows. And I kept asking myself, why is it that I'm up one day and down the next day? I look like the stock market. Look at the graph. The graph that's up on the screen depicts so many of us in the Western world, especially Christianity in America. We're so high when we go to TBN, then when the show's off, it's like we drop out of sight. You know, we're so excited because we had a supernatural Sunday, and then Monday comes. Oh, we drop out of sight. We're so excited because we got a refund check back from the IRS, and it actually cashed and didn't bounce. Glory to God. How do they keep cashing them checks? I guess we just keep raising the debt ceiling. I don't know. But that's sort of the way our Christianity looks like. But I don't know. I want to get to the point where I have just steady, constant, consistent growth. I don't want to take 3 steps forward and 4 steps backward. 2 steps forward, 1 step backward. I don't want to be up one day, down the next day. I want people to see me the same every day. I don't care what situation it is. I don't care how the devil creates scenarios to try to steal my joy. You know what Jesse Duplantis said? The devil can't steal your joy because he didn't give it to you. So he can't take what's not his. So we got to have him to put the joy back and put the peace back in our life. And there are indicators in our life when those things are missing, something's wrong. Something's not right. And so we have to make adjustments. And so this is what Paul was talking about. He was talking about becoming consistent. How many want to grow in God? Let me see your hand. All right, cool. Man, I'm about to announce, here's what I want to do. I'm going to take 12 men for 12 weeks and meet with you early on a Saturday morning and pour my life into 12 men. He said, which 12? The first 12 that sign up. But let me tell you this, if you're not a tither, don't sign up. You say, why not? Because it's hard to teach somebody anything that hasn't learned the basics. But I want to grow in God. I want people to grow. I want you to grow. I want to grow. I don't want my wife. I told Tina this morning, we were driving in the car. And she said, she was busy this morning. We were ready to leave for church. And she said, I came back in the house to get some tissues or something. She said, I'm sorry, I'm still not ready yet. And I said, that's okay. Whenever you're done, just come on. I'm going to be sitting in the car. And so I'm like, wow, that was me. Wow, I'm like on a spiritual high this morning, man. You know. Anyway, so she gets in the car. She said, thanks for being so patient. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, tell her you have to make up today for all those bad years early on. In other words, there were days when I was blowing the horn. Roll down the window. Come on, we got to go to church. Come on, I'm going to be late. I got to get over there. Shake hands with the people and everything and pray. Hurry up. Doesn't make sense, does it? Well, I was like in victory, man, this morning. I'm just like, oh, Jesus. Looking around, see a squirrel going, cloud go by. She got in the car. I said, push that seat back. I want to see all of you. You're up too far. I can't see you. She pushed the seat back. I said, ooh, you're looking good this morning. We're just driving along. I said, what happened to me? I've grown in Jesus. And my wife is so thankful. So if she ever hears the car horn blowing in the driveway again, she'll know that stock market went down. We don't want to take highs and lows. We want to learn how to stay consistent in Jesus. So I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, Lord, what is it that makes me consistent? And Paul gave us a secret in verse 23 of Romans chapter 7. Can we look at it again? Romans chapter 7 and verse 23, he said, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I just got back from vacation last night. I had the blessing to spend one full week, 24 hours a day, in one house with 22 family members. And I'm still saved. You know, I thought, this is going to be like a reality show. I'm going to put secret cameras everywhere, try to sell it to one syndication or something. This will be really good, man. Everybody will love watching this. And I don't know if it was my threat or what, but we didn't have one argument. We didn't have one confrontation. I mean, my children acted saved. My grandchildren acted saved. Mom and Dad, we acted saved. I mean, the whole house was like saved. I think everybody was afraid not to be saved because what if there were cameras? You know, something's happened to our family. Because I can remember a day when that wasn't the case. And I want to encourage some of you who are raising teenagers. I understand that. Because sometimes that can bring you down. Situations can bring you down. You know, I was feeling real good this morning. I got up and I'm like popping up and down the steps. Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder. I'm zippity-doo-da-day and all over the house. And then I checked my messages and I got this message. And people were like, mean, Aunt B. I said, I can't believe she just, I'm trying. I said, wait a minute. How can I let one thing take my peace and joy? I must have shifted my focus. I must be thinking about something that's not eternal. I must be thinking about something that's temporary. Have you ever done that? I think about temporary stuff all the time. Why do we do that when we know it's only temporary? It's going to pass. And it came to pass. Say that with me. And it came to pass. See, it always comes to pass. So why do we think about it as if it's permanent? It's not permanent. The only thing that's permanent is change. God is working for us and in us and changing us from what? Glory to glory. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you and I can reach a place in Jesus where we are constant in God. And I don't want to get you discouraged today because you honked the horn at your wife at church this morning. Maybe you did. Maybe you screamed because your kids couldn't find their shoes. Maybe you were frustrated because you were tired and you couldn't sleep last night. Or maybe you're just worn out and stressed. And you said some things to some of your family members that caused hurt feelings or maybe made them feel sad. And you come to church and you're trying to worship and all you're thinking about is all that negativity. And that's exactly what the devil loves to do. He wars against the members of our mind. And he tries to disqualify us and down we go. Down that roller coaster and we say, I can't do this. I can't bless the Lord. I can't worship God. There is no way. See, our spiritual journeys have ups and downs. But that doesn't mean that our life has to go with it. We can stay constant in Jesus. Galatians chapter 3. If you have your Bible, turn there with me. Galatians chapter 3 and verse, I think it's 2 and 3. Do you have it for up on the board? Yeah. Listen to this. This is a great scripture. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing by faith? Now, before you go to the next verse, let's ask that question. How did we receive the Spirit? Was it by something you did? Answer, no. Say it with me, no. How did you receive the Spirit? The Bible says how? By the hearing of faith. So let me just make this announcement. Christianity is not a performance. So all of you with your performance mode on this morning, save it. Have you ever met performing Christians? I mean, you walk up to them and they're like, praise the Lord. I'm blessed. That's how, you really doing? Oh, I'm walking by faith. Praise the Lord. I said, look, the problem is that's good while you're in church. But as soon as you leave here and go to Burger King, the real you comes out. Because you're not performing anymore. Because you lost your audience. Because you don't think anybody else now is watching of any relevance. I mean, past ain't looking. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about? Christianity isn't a performance. You can't make yourself a Christian. And I don't know why we try to make ourselves a Christian. It's by faith. It's hearing by faith. And so we've got to stop this performance deal. Listen, I'd rather you come up to me and say, I said, how you doing? He said, Pastor, I am bummed out this morning. I mean, if I could, I would spit nails, but I know that God is good and I'm going to trust his word. You know, just be real. You don't have to fake it till you make it. In some senses, those things are good. But in reality, folks, listen, we're all human flesh. And there's a war going on in our minds. And I know one thing. I don't have to try to perform. And you know what Christianity does? It sets a stage for us. Modern Christianity, people today from the pulpit, people from today from the church, they all want to set the stage. And they want us to, like little marionettes, to come out there and do all their Christian antics and make all their Christian jargon work and make everybody feel like we're something that we're really not. Now, I'm not giving us a license to be carnal, but at the same time, I'm saying, listen, you can't make yourself a Christian. I mean, you could put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. You could put a pig in a garage, but it's not a car. Come on. For us to think about trying to make ourselves Christian. We're going to be a Christian family. No, you're not. You can't make yourself a Christian family. We're going to make ourselves a Christian family. How? We're going to pray. We're going to have devotions. Listen, none of that's going to work either. Pastor, are you trying to save? You don't pray, have devotions, but that doesn't work? Nope. Not if you're performing. Because you can't act that good. It is a faith walk, not a fake walk. And that's why so many of us as Christians are constantly frustrated. We're thinking like, I can't do this. I can't live this life. Go to verse 3. He says this: are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? No, I'm not being made perfect by the flesh. I've got to stay in the spirit. I've got to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I've got to have him talk to me. I've got to have him walk with me. I've got to have him lead me. I've got to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, look, don't go back to the flesh. Don't go back to trying to perform. Don't go back trying to be religious. I don't know what it is about Christians. Some people say, well, if you went to the right church, you'd be better off. If you went to the right place for this conference, you'd be more spiritual. If you did this, if you did that, if you did this, if you did that, it's a stop the madness. It's not about what I do. It's about what he did. And it's about me walking in faith about what he did. It's not about what I do. And so we constantly tell people to do these things, and it's not changing lives. You can't perform long enough to make yourself redeemed and saved. Watch this. You're either focused on his life or you're focused on your life. What life are you focused on today? You see, failure to make Jesus your life results in constant, endless frustration. This is probably one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. It's Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, and I've quoted it a lot. But let's look at it. And I want you to read it with me if you don't mind. So focus on the screens and let's read it. Are you ready? I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Let's stop right there. What's crucified mean? Dead? Died? Executed? Okay. So I have been executed with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, right? But Christ lives in me. Let's finish reading it. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Wait a minute. The life I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God? So if I'm not living by faith in the Son of God, then I'm not living Christianity. It's a faith walk. It is a walk daily, recognizing it's all about Jesus. He has nothing to do with me. So I have to develop a consciousness of Jesus in my life through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, next week we're going to start a series, and I found 104 titles about Jesus in the Bible, called the Rose of Sharon, the Alpha and the Omega, you know, all that stuff. And I said, Lord, I can't preach on 104. He said, amen. I don't want you to do that either. He said, I endured that Revelation series, and that was long enough, so you need to cut it down. but I'm going to take the top 50. I'm going to take half of them, and I'm going to begin delivering them. Why? Because we need to know who Jesus is. Why do we need to know who Jesus is? Because our life is in Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus, you don't know real life. And if all you're doing is trying to perform what others are telling you, you're going to forget your line at one point. You're not that good of an actor. You need a director. You need a script. You need a character outside yourself. A successful actor is one who dies to themselves and takes on the persona of the character they've been asked to portray. It's not my words, it's His words. It's not my actions, it's His actions. I'm not me, I'm just performing the character. Go back. I've been crucified with what? It's no longer I who live, but who? Christ lives in me. Now, say it again. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Therefore, I've got to live by the script. Outside the script, I don't have a life. So it doesn't matter what happens outside the script, because it's not about my life anyway. Has nothing to do with me unless I allow it or make it a part of me. You do not have the license to improv. You and I do not have the liberty to be able to write our own day. The steps of the righteous man are ordered of the Lord. The pathway of the righteous grows brighter and brighter day by day. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean. Acknowledge God and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Listen to me, church. This is a faith walk. And so I recognize that if I just follow the script, it's His movie. He's the underwriter. He's the producer. I'm just going to get a chance to star in it. Now watch. We won't fit Christ into our life. Jesus doesn't want to fit into your life. He wants to be your life. Amen. Just lift your hand up. Say, Jesus, I'm not going to try to make you fit into my life from this day on, in Jesus' name. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So therefore, if I'm losing, if I'm in a death mode, or if I'm in a down mode, it must be as a result of carnal mindedness. In other words, I've got my mind on things that aren't in the script. I'm starting to act out under the direction of another producer. I'm starting to fulfill the role of another movie. It's called the movie from hell. So therefore, I've got to stay with the script. I've got to stick with the producer who redeemed me, who cast me. You following me? So I am going to stay true to my lines. So when the doctor said, you're going to be sick and you're going to die, my response is not, oh my, let me just call my friends and tell them I've only got 2 weeks. That's not in the script. The script says, by His stripes, I have been healed. Therefore, I'm not going to deviate based on what I'm told or what I'm feeling or whatever others are saying, because I'm not going to try to perform. I'm not going to say in one word, well, I'm believing God, but you know what the doctor said, or but Aunt May and them, they all died from this, or but I don't think there's a good chance. It just depends what the good Lord says. Why are we trying to perform? Why are we trying to hold on to what has been? Let's embrace what is becoming. Let us embrace Jesus fully. I can't make myself a Christian. Listen, I've tried. I've tried, man. I've tried to make myself a Christian. And it just won't work. It just doesn't work. I'm always uncovered. I always end up slipping out. I always end up showing up. I said, Lord, you know what? I need to develop a consciousness of Your presence. In other words, I am now in Christ. The down cycle occurs when you and I have a shift in our focus. When we have a shift in our focus from Jesus unto us. I don't know what it is. You know, you could always tell a person when they're growing as a Christian. It used to be things in the world would get them down. Their focus is on their job or their loss of money, or maybe somebody said something to them to hurt their feelings, or, you know, a family member, and they're down. They're starting to lose it. But you could tell a person that's growing is that when they overcome those things, but when they get to the church, it's all about what somebody said to them, or pastor didn't hug my neck, or that elder prayed for them, but they didn't pray for me, or I can't believe the color of paint they put on the wall, or why don't we have carpet in here? This is a concrete floor. Every church has carpet. Well, we don't have carpet. But we allow those kind of things to change our focus. Somebody didn't do what I thought they should have done. In other words, I was entitled. It really is a selfish focus. It becomes pride in our life when we allow church things to disrupt our growth in Jesus. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let's just be honest with ourselves. If that thing is happening, it's because we haven't died. There's been a resurrection. And I ain't talking about Jesus. I'm talking about you and me. We've been raised from the dead. We're back. In other words, we were killed with Christ, but now we're back. That's why in some churches it just looks like a bunch of zombies. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We've been raised from the dead. We're a bunch of sinners walking around with carnality in our minds, carnality in our hearts. And you say, where's Jesus in all this? Listen, we don't want to raise ourselves from the dead. We want Christ to be raised from the dead. Listen to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 6. But God, who's rich in mercy, say rich in mercy. Say it again, rich in mercy. Oh, I like that. Listen, sinner, rich in mercy. Come on, those of you that are in a down cycle, rich in mercy. It's all right. God is rich in mercy. Woo, I like that. Because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. Watch this. Read the last part, verse 6. Ready? Raised us up together and made us what? Sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I could tell you 100 stories of what happened this past week of opportunities for me to let Jesus live and me die. But I have to tell you, there was a few where I had a resurrection in my life. But yesterday, the devil really tried. My wife and I had to drive from one city to another because we fly standby and the flights were all full. So we got in the car and drove 4 hours. I was tired and spent a whole week with all the kids and grandkids. Papa, Papa, Papa. And sometimes the only time they know Papa is because they know Papa got money. I mean, one of my grandkids came up to me. The last day, he hadn't hardly talked to me for a couple of days. You know, they're just playing, swimming, doing whatever. He comes up to me and I said, I know something's up. Papa, Papa, would you take me and so-and-so to go buy fireworks? I said, no. And that was the end of conversation. He turned around and left. He didn't want to talk to me. He just wanted my money. So, you know, we get to this hotel room. We had to spend a night in a hotel. My GPS wasn't working. You know, can't find a satellite. I said, well, it's up in the sky. What do you mean you can't find a satellite? I don't know where to go. Then there's a hailstorm. I mean, it was storm so bad in South Carolina, we could not see. Hail hitting the car. Boom, 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 boom. My wife said, are we going to be responsible for the damage of this car? I said, I don't know. I said, it's an act of God or an act of the devil or something. I didn't hit nothing. So we get up, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, got to be at the airport by 5. Got to drop the rental car off. You know, no big deal, you just drive over, drop the rental car off. So we get in the car, we're on time, we left at 4:30. Airport's 5 minutes away. I was driving down Billy Graham Parkway. I am so pumped spiritually. I'm like, I'm on Billy Graham Parkway. And my wife said, uh-oh. She said, I think I forgot my cell phone. I said, what do you mean you forgot your cell phone? And the devil's like, she forgot her cell phone. She forgot her cell phone. He talks like that, doesn't he? I said, oh. I said, no, she often says that about a lot of things. Then she looks at her purse. She goes, no, no, I got it. So I'm waiting for that, no, I got it. And she said, I really don't have it. I said, honey, I said, and I was still cool. I was still the Jesus mode. I said, honey, I said, didn't you unplug your phone? It was right there on the desk. She goes, I don't have it. We have to go get it. I said, you mean turn around? I said, I didn't know how to get into this airport. My GPS isn't working. And you can't go out the way you come in. There's a different way out. So I said, okay, we'll go back. So I go to turn around, and I can't get out of the airport. And I'm starting to lose time. I said, we're just going to have to call. Maybe they can send it to us. So I'm pulling up trying to find the rental car return. I get there, and it's closed. They don't open till 5:30. I said, well, I got to be at the airport at 5. And my wife forgot her cell phone. And I don't know what to do with this rental car. And God, why am I on Billy Graham Parkway feeling so carnal? I was stressed. I was so stressed. I said, honey, I feel like I'm going to cry. I just want to cry. I feel stressed right now. Now, I'm telling you the truth, folks. I wish I could have said I spoke in tongues and prophesied, but I didn't. So I call the hotel. I said, Jesus was back. I said, good morning. Kimberly, room 213. We left our cell phone there. It's got a Hello Kitty little cover on it. Could you get it and mail it to us? Well, I'm sorry, sir. I'm the only one here. And when the shuttle driver comes back, we can check. And I'll call you. Can you give me a number? And I said, okay. Well, it ends up, she gives the phone to the driver who comes on his next delivery to bring people, and he has my phone. The problem is security is backed up all the way down the concourse, and our plane was leaving in 50 minutes. And I had to get my wife's cell phone, and I didn't know where to put the car. And finally I figured out you drop the keys in a key box, and it doesn't matter where you put the car, but I wish they'd have told me that before I got there. Oh, Jesus came back again. So I'm like, okay, Jesus, I know that righteous steps are ordered of the Lord, and I'm praising you. I'm Billy Graham Parkway. It just catches you, doesn't it? It doesn't matter what happens where, but it's an opportunity for us to walk by faith and not by sight. It can happen 1,000 times a day. Scenario after scenario. Every one of us have it all the time. But I've got to make a decision. You know what? It's all about Christ in me and me in Christ. These things are temporary. This is not eternal. God's going to work it out for my good. I don't know how he's going to turn this around, but it doesn't matter. I got to trust in him. I got to believe in him. I just got to thank God right now. I don't want to punish the people around me because of my carnal thinking. That's what we often do, isn't it? We punish our spouse. We punish our children because we're upset. Well, get back in Jesus, Dad. Tell me that again. I'm going to commit murder. I'm going to tell you that right now. You know, you feel like you can kill them. Where does that come from? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to tell you in a minute, but I ain't going to swear in church. You know, I thought Christians were perfect. I got saved. Like my former pastor, I thought he was like God. I got saved and I was like, wow, there's God. I was just a young man, 23 years of age, and he kind of liked me, and I worked for him, and I served him in the church. And anytime he needed help, he'd call me. He'd get stuck in the snow, he'd call me, and I'd dig him out. I said, Pastor, it's all right. No problem. Call me anytime you need me. I just want to serve in the house of God. I thought, man, I'm next to the pastor. Oh, man, a pastor out called me up. I'm just new convert, but he knows I can count on me. I was starting to feel prideful. I was feeling real good about myself. Then one day I rode in the car with him. He's driving like a maniac. And I'm thinking, whoa, you don't even obey the laws of land. You know how new Christians are. New Christians believe everything. They just go by the book, man. You're a newcomer. It's like, no, no, no. You start getting that holier-than-thou attitude. You start thinking that you can pray for your dog. Your dog will be raised from the dead. It doesn't matter. You just feel like you walk by faith and everybody else is just like faltering. It's like, what's the matter with this man? He doesn't obey the laws of the land. He just preached last week. We're supposed to obey the laws of the land. Here he is now. He just preached. He's supposed to obey the laws of the land. He's breaking the laws of the land. And I'm in the car with him. Pastor, what you doing? But that wasn't it. We were down in the basement one time, and he was trying to fix up his basement, put a couple of bedrooms down there, and we were working together. He called me because he wanted me to work with him, so I was working with him. And he got mad. I don't know if he hit his thumb with a hammer or something. And you know what he did? He threw the hammer. But he just didn't throw the hammer. He said, "That blankety blank," and he threw it. I said, "The blankety blank? Oh, my God, the pastor just blankety blanked right in front of me." He did. He blankety blanked. I said, "God, how can this be?" He blankety blanked. He threw the hammer, claw hammer, right inside the drywall. Fwum, like a hatchet. Fwum, dum. I said, "Who can be saved? If my pastor can't, my pastor, oh Lord, I'm in big trouble." Didn't take me long to find out. I had one of those too. I found out everybody in my church has one. You know, it's really cool. I found stuff out about church members. They love you until you cross them. Until you do something they don't like. And it's like, arr. What is that in us? Paul said it's that thing that I don't want to do that I end up doing. You shifted your focus. Come on, raise your hand. Say, "Jesus, from this Sunday forward, I'm going to do my very best not to shift my focus on the temporary, but to keep my focus on the eternal." Amen. How many meant that? Did you mean that? Okay. God's going to help us to do it. Because temporary, natural focus accentuates our weaknesses. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had cars before with the check engine light that comes on. Anybody ever have one of those? Let me see your hand if you ever had a check engine light come on. Look at everybody. Look at all the hands. Cars are junk. Come on. Yeah, look at them. All of them. Okay. Then when you took it in, what was wrong with it? Nothing's wrong with it. Well, then why'd you charge me $89.95 to take a light off? I could have busted the light out. Like check engine light. So you know what I've done? I've got a van right now. My wife and I have been driving this van for 6-7 years. And it's got check engine light on. And I said, "Fooey with it." I drive it and I don't care. No, put the check engine light. Put the check, yeah, there it is. But God told me something. He said, just like the check engine light in your car, I've given my people a soul engine check. Now, what's a soul engine check? When you get down in a downward spiral, my friend, it's because we've shifted our focus off of Jesus and onto the sin, onto ourself. And it's check engine light or the soul engine light is nothing less than a sin problem. But it's an amazing thing how we can continue to drive our van with the check engine light on and think it's never going to cause a problem until one day steam comes out from under the hood. And we're thinking, what is wrong with this stupid car? The fact is you've ignored the warning sign. And my wife had a great idea. She said, if you get 50 people to put those little Christmas blinky things on, like they can pin on, you know how the little Rudolph's nose lights up during Christmas? And it's like, "Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas." She said, if you can get like 50 people, and that can illustrate the fact that there are Christians with the soul engine light on. They could begin standing and go, "My soul engine light's on. Blink, 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 blink." But in reality, in the spirit, how many of us actually have our soul engine light's blinking because there's something wrong. There's a sin issue. But we keep driving our life as if it's nothing's wrong. and thinking it's not going to have any negative effects. But you know what? That's not the case. Eventually, your sin will catch up with you. Eventually, you're going to die. You're not going to be able to make it. Now, see, the only time I have to deal with that check engine light is every other year when I have to go get one of those emission tests. How many know what I'm talking about? Emissions test. I come in there, and I'm trying to act like my car is okay. The man looks in there. He looks at it. I put my hand over the light. He said, pick your hand off the light. I said, I'm just stretching. I'm just stretching. He said, no, pull that hand back. He said, oh, there's a check engine light on. I can't check your emissions. You can't get a certificate. Meaning you can't get license plates. Meaning you can't drive. I'm like, why? What's wrong with my car? It runs fine. No, you got to go get it. So I take it to the mechanic, and guess what he does? I don't know what he does. I don't know what he does. If you're a mechanic in here, you better not tell me what you do, because you're going to lose income. But I take it there, and they fix it. They take the engine light off. But he tells me, hurry up, go get your emissions test, because it's going to come back on. I said, wait a minute. If I brought it to you to fix it, and you turned it off, and I went and got my emissions test, but now it comes back on, why'd I pay you? Hey, look, guys. There's only one place you can go for the remission of sin. You can't cover it up. You can't fix it up. You can't paint it up. You can't perform. You can't act like it. You can't make over. You've got to go to the cross. You've got to go to the cross and get it right. Get it fixed. Let Jesus correct the problem. Stop living your life with your soul engine light on. Realize that eventually the soul that sins shall surely die. How many have ever seen WWJD? You know what it means? What does it say? Okay, I'm going to X that out because I don't like that saying. What would Jesus do is exactly what we have done. We try to do what he did. We try to perform. We try to act as if. No. I got a new one. Put it up for me. Not what would Jesus do. Watch what Jesus does. There's a big difference. The Bible said that Jesus did not say anything he did not hear first his Father say. The Bible said that Jesus did not do anything that he first did not see his Father do. He only went where he was told to go because he was in communion and connection with the Father in heaven. And guys, listen, that's what we have to do. We have to get a connection that's a little bit deeper. We got to make Jesus more real than a Sunday service. We got to make Jesus real more than just a devotion or a Bible reading or a prayer time or a hallelujah or a shout down time. Listen, he's got to be our best friend. He has to walk with us and talk with us, and we got to follow him every inch of the way. And that's what's beautiful about this, because he did not leave us helpless. He sent to us the Holy Spirit. Come on, throw your hands up and say, thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. I mean it. Come on, tell him, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. He sent to us a helper. Oh, man. Oh, man. He sent to us a helper. And that's why I love that Message Bible in John 14. He said, if you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. I'll talk to the Father. He'll provide you another friend so that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of Truth. The godless world can't take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him, doesn't know what to look for. But you know him already because he has been staying with you and will even be in you. Friends, we've got to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We've got to see him when your wife misses and forgets the cell phone. You've got to see him when your child is failing history and you don't know what to do with them. You've got to see him when they give you a pink slip and say you're going to be furloughed. You've got to hear what he's got to say to you when the doctor said there's no hope and no help and no future. You've got to get an intimacy developed with the Holy Ghost. No matter what you're going through, you know you're going through. You know it's only temporary and that your eyes are fixed on eternity. and that you're not seated here on these black chairs, but you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And I will not be defeated, and I will not quit, because if God be for me, come on, say it with me, if God be for me, who can be against me? Come on, tell two people, nobody can be against you when God is for you. I wasn't kidding when I told Tina this morning, I owe you a great life, the rest of our life. I owe you and our children and my church and everybody I come in contact with a Jesus life. I'm going to make up for what I couldn't do before. I found a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I found a helper when I couldn't find anybody to give me a hand. I found someone to guide me when I didn't know my way and I was lost. I found somebody to give me understanding and insight when nobody had time to help this preacher out. It's called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will talk with you. He won't intrude on you now. He won't bust his way in. But if you ask him, he'll tell you. Watch what Jesus does. We standing out front, I finished dropping off the car and this key thing, which was somewhere else other than where the car thing was. And I'm running up through, and I said, oh, I got to hurry. And I'm looking at the line. And Tina was standing out in the front because the guy was coming back to drop off people from our hotel with her Hello Kitty phone. I said, don't forget the charger. So I said, you go inside, hon. I'll stand out here. And I'm looking for the vehicle that says Marriott on it. And I'm running around. I said, him coming to me, I'll save some time. I'll track him down. So I see a Marriott van about, you know, maybe, I don't know, 1,000 feet away or something. And I run down here, and I knock on the door. I said, got my phone? Guys look at me like, get out of my van. Who are you? What do you want? I said, Marriott, right? He goes, I'm in the courtyard, Marriott. You were in the Spring Hill. He said, that van's coming. I said, I'm sorry. Jesus loves you. And I'm running over there. I finally get it. I got the phone. I come back in. I was so proud of myself. I said, I got your phone. I got your phone. We're standing in line. Time's a ticking. Tick, 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 tick. I'm thinking, you know what I should do? If I ran this place, I would open up another security entrance because there's a lot of people here. But I don't run this place, the Holy Spirit said. I run this place, so trust in me. I said, I know, but my flight's leaving. And if we don't get through in 30 minutes before the gate, they're not going to let us get on because we're standbys. We're like the bottom rung of the people. We're like the low life. Nobody cares about us because we're non-revenue people. And God, you have to understand that. I have to be there 15 minutes before. And I can't go without my daughter. My daughter's ahead of me. And if we get left behind, then I'm going to have to spend the day here at this airport and all the other flights are full. And God, what are you going to do with us? Come on, Jesus. Favor! You ever feel like that? You all don't feel like that. You all just sing kumbaya, don't you? You all sing. You get your hands, you go like, we are one in the spirit. We are one. So watch how God works. So we get through the whole scenario, make it through in about 20 minutes to spare. We get to the gate. They'd already called our names to present our tickets. We weren't there. Thank God there wasn't anybody else standing there that they would have given our tickets away. So my daughter rushes up there, and he said, Kayton, Peters, so I got your tickets here. So he gave them to my daughter, April. She turned around, she smiles at me, she gives me my ticket. I looked down at it, it was 1F. Now, for those of you that don't fly, anything with 1 to 4 on it is a good thing, because that's first class. Okay, sorry. So she's in 1F. I'm in 1F. She's in 2F. She's right behind me. I came in a plane. after all that in the morning, I sat down in first class. As soon as I sit down and go like this, the stewardess come over, flight attendant, she said, "Can I get you something to drink, sir?" I said, "Ooh, I'm a sir." I said, "You don't know where I've been." I'm thinking to myself, "You only knew where I've been this morning. God, I am so sorry." Have you ever been humbled by the goodness of the Lord? You know you don't deserve it, but He's good anyway. Come on, God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. Get up on your feet and praise Him with me. Come on. There's so many other stories I want to tell you. That day did not end with that, but Jesus got the victory. This morning we want to bless the Lord one more time. And I don't know if you guys know that song. Well, you sing whatever you want. I don't want to put that on you because sometimes I pressure y'all. I know Tracy knows them because you know everything. You know every song that's ever been sung in church, don't you? Okay, name that tune. Come on, somebody give me a song. You watch it. She can play anything. Come on, everybody give Tracy a hand because she's awesome. Yeah, you are. You're awesome. You know that song that said, "Come on and bless the Lord with me." See, you know it. "Come on and bless the Lord with me." Come on. "Come on and bless the Lord with me." Woo. "Come on and bless the Lord with me." Sing it again. Come on. "Come on and bless the Lord with me." Woo. "Come on and bless the Lord with me." Okay. Now some of you are doing pretty good. You're going like this. But you got to, come on, you just take one knee, lock it, bend the other one, and just shift your weight. You just shift your weight, bless. Okay? You all can do it, come on. "Bless the Lord with me." Woo! "Come on and bless the Lord with me." Ho! "Come on and bless the Lord with me." Woo! "Come on and bless the Lord with me." We're going to give the offering today, and tithe and offering missions. By the way, I want to say thank you. My grandson Dominic left our last day of vacation for Haiti. He'll be there 5 months. He's at YWAM there in St. Mark. He told me to tell you all goodbye. He loves you very much, and he's excited. So he's down there for DTS, his training for missionary school. So we're excited about that. Thank you for helping him get there. All of his needs were met, and so we're so grateful for that. So give your offering this morning. And if you want to, you could be seated. Ushers, you want to receive it that way, it might be easier than trying to do it out the door. Just be seated for a second. It won't hurt you. It'd be all right. Come on, ushers. This will be a little bit more orderly to do it this way, I think, right? So if you're making a check, make it to CNC. And if you spell thousand, T-H-O-U-S-A-N-D. Okay. Oh, you got pictures. Okay. In Jesus' name, receive the offering. Let me tell you now, folks, we're going to have a church picnic. A mega church picnic. The only problem is you're going to have to drive to Lorraine. I'll be buses, though, for you. Get a picture of it. This is Black River Landing. We're going to do it on the 21st of August. If you can see that, it is a magnificent area. It's got tents. It's got green grass along the river, along the lake. It's absolutely beautiful. We rented the entire acreage. We have an air-conditioned pavilion. Whoop, whoop. We have regular pavilions. We're going to have a concert at 6 o'clock. We're going to have a joint service at 11 a.m. That'll start the day. So come with your picnic gear. Bring your stuff. We'll provide chicken as a church. And you bring all the fixings and stuff that you want to share. You'll know more about that. But that part there with the little writing on it will be our tabernacle. That's going to actually be the church for it. We have a big, huge sound system. There it is right there. We're going to have church underneath that. And we're going to sit all out in the grass, so you bring your own chairs. And I'm just believing by faith you all are going to come. So this is the 21st of August. Mark it down. Save the date. How many with a raised hand would say, Pastor, you know what? I'm in. Count me down. Okay, good. How many are saying, you got to be kidding. There's no way I'm driving all the way out there. Let me see your hand. Okay, six of you. That's all right. We still love you. But anyway, that's going to happen. We'll have buses here at 10 a.m. to pick you up, and you and your family will drive you there. We'll bring you back at the close at 7:30 at night, and we're going to have a powerful concert at 6 for the youth. Bring all your friends, your family, your coworkers, unsaved people, it doesn't matter. We're trying to get a lot of amusements for the kids, carnival rides, pony rides. I tried to get hot air balloon rides, but they won't let me because of the high tension wires. But I still think we could do it, but they said no. So I can't do that. We'll have a bunch of those blow-up jumper things. The kids go in and have fun with that. We'll make sure they're tied down so they don't go flying away. And it's going to be a grand time. So that's August 21st. All right. And then, B, do you got the thing happening July 4th or is it the 3rd? 4th is a Sunday, right? Monday. So Monday, see Aunt B, because she is organizing a huge feeding program, 2100 Lakeside Drive, to the men's shelter downtown. Over 367 people are going to eat that day. We did it once before for Christmas. It's a blessing. You and your family to be a part of that. Please see Aunt B today. That's coming up in just a week, right? Week and a half. A week. Next Monday. So please be a part of that. It's a way of giving back to the community. And don't you think that would make Jesus smile? I think it would make Jesus smile. Well, we love you and there ain't nothing you can do about it. So live right, love everybody, and pray hard. And we'll see you next time, all right? Come on and bless the Lord with me.